In this episode, I'm going to answer your questions that you asked me over on Instagram. It's quite a few of them, so I might even do a part two because there is a lot of questions that I didn't get to in this episode. We'll talk about products, tools, services, and pricing, so I'm sure this will help you in some way in your business. And this episode is brought to you by Jobber. Now, I've been using Jobber in my business for the last 5 years now. When it comes to scheduling our jobs, keeping track of our customers' information, booking out our schedule, employees clocking in and out, sending out automated appointment reminders, we run everything through Jobber. It's made our life a lot easier because we basically do almost everything that we need to do in one software. So whether it's on desktop, whether we're out mobile and we're using our phone, we keep track of our entire business and what's going on and what is, you know, just what's on our schedule through our software Jobber. If you want to get a free 14-day trial plus a special discount, click the link down below or in the show notes to give it a try. Let's go ahead and get started. Okay, so first question here is, why don't you work with a dealership? Now, I've made a few, maybe not videos, but I have talked about this in the past, to where the problem with dealerships is that they basically want to control the entire transaction because they have the volume, right? They'll always be like, hey, if you give us a lower price, if you work with us, like, we're going to keep on sending you work. And at face value, especially when you're first getting started, that seems very favorable because you're like, oh, yeah, you know, we can drop our price and do, I don't know, $150 for full detail because they're going to send us like 10 a week, right? So that'd be like $1,500. But the problem is, like, they ask for so much in such a short time frame that you like your business, sorry for the noise back there, there is the door is open. Okay, we're good. So the problem with that is that, like, they basically end up controlling your business because what happens is you want to please that dealership because they're sending you so much work that you start to not ignore, but push back your retail customers, like your own customers, just to please the dealership. And it might go well for a while to where, oh, look, like, we're getting like $1,500 a week. Maybe we need to hire someone to fulfill and keep on getting more cars. But you go down this rabbit hole of, like, you just want to please the dealership. And then guess what? They find a cheaper detailer, they cut you off, and they send the work to someone else. And then what? Right? You spend so much time trying to please this dealership to where you kind of forgot about your marketing, you forgot about your retail customers, and then you're left kind of stranded. So that's one side of things. But then two, they're not going to pay your full price, right? I don't think I've ever worked with a dealership in the 14 years I've been detailing because they want to set their own terms. So if a dealership contacts us, and like, hey, we don't do any deals, there's no specials, we don't need a lot of cars, like, we're going to charge you the full rate, full price, and that's it. If you want to work with us, that's fine. If not, we do not mind if you do not go with us because we do not need dealership work. The same thing accounts for, like, fleet work as well. Like, we don't want fleet work. Like, we don't want to do 10 maintenance washes on a bunch of trucks once a week. Like, we just simply aren't that kind of business, right? I'm not saying dealerships don't work. It's just for us and what we do, we just don't need that kind of work. Because I used to work at I helped another detailer at a dealership, and the same thing happened. Like, they send you more work, they're giving you more and more work, and you want to please them, but then at the end, it's like you're not even running your own business. Like, you're just there to please that dealership, and for what, you know? So that's why I always, like, I don't recommend detailers going after dealerships because at face value, it looks good that they're going to send you X amount of cars per week and that's how you're going to make money. And especially when you're first getting started, that seems like a really good deal. But the problem is they're going to ask for a lot. They want the absolute cheapest price. You're not able to do the kind of quality that you want because you need to do so many vehicles and you're only charging $100 for in and out. So that's why I personally don't go after dealerships, and I don't recommend a lot of detailers go after dealerships as well unless you're set up for that kind of operation. But other than that, avoid dealerships. Next question here is, how long have you had a YouTube channel? So my first video, I think, was December 17th, 2015, I believe. It's cool. Just go to my YouTube channel and sort from oldest to newest, and you'll see the first, you know, obviously you'll see all the old videos. It's just cool to see because, like, and this is key with anything, whether it's cooking, whether it's starting a YouTube channel, whether it's a new hobby like sim racing or working out or dancing or drawing, whatever it is, like, your first call it 100 reps are going to be crappy. They're going to be trash. They're going to be so low quality. Like, now, the key thing here, to no matter what hobby, right? No matter what hobby, what skill, whatever. The difference between you being crappy, you being sorry, you sucking at something, and then you getting just a little bit better is the time it takes you to condense that phase of being crappy at something, right? So what I'm getting at is, let's say it takes you, keeping things super general here, 100 reps to get a little bit better at something, right? Like when you're first getting started, like you're absolutely brand spanking new, right? Would you want to take those 100 reps over 6 months or those 100 reps over 30 days, right? The faster you can condense the learning curve, the faster you can improve and move forward, right? So if you want to start a YouTube channel, it's like, yeah, go post 4 videos next week. They're all going to be crappy, but every video you post, every single shot you take gets you just a tiny bit better, 0.01% better. Now you can post 4 videos over 1 week or four videos over 1 month. Which pace do you think is going to help you get better faster, right? The more repetition you do, the better you get. You can't be great without frequency. I love that quote. You can't be great without frequency. If you want to be great at anything, you have to be in the game of doing reps. Of frequent frequency, right? Frequent frequency. So, yeah. Anyways, that was a short little answer there. Okay. Next one here is, this one's also an easy one. In what year did you start your detailing business? So, that was back in 2011 when I was like 17, 18 years old. And I struggled until, like, the first 3 years was a struggle. In terms of barely any customers, barely any money. I had multiple jobs during that, not throughout the whole time, but throughout those 3.5-ish years, I would have like one or two jobs, part-time, full-time throughout that timeline. It wasn't until 2014, 2015 when everything changed and my schedule got completely booked out. I started making a lot more money. I started to raise my prices. I started to book out, you know, one to two jobs per day instead of like a couple jobs throughout the week. My phone blew up. My phone just would not stop ringing. My emails would be blowing up. My text message would be blowing up. And that's because, guess what? I focus on marketing the business and actually learning how to get the phone ringing. And my specific way to get customers was through SEO, search engine optimization. That's been our main source of lead generation for the last now 10 years. 10 years. That's when you rank your website on the first page of Google in your local area. I sell a course, SEO for Detailers, now for the last like 6 years, that specifically aimed to help you rank your website on the first page of Google. I've now done that for, I think, 4 or 5 sites over the last like 3-4 years. Again, doesn't have to be SEO though. It could be Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Google ads, Instagram, TikTok. Like, there's so many methods to grow your business. I just specifically chose SEO at the time and I've stuck to that. And again, like, most of the work that I've done was when I first, the first year of SEO. Since then, I basically just been reaping the rewards. Obviously, there's maintenance and updates and such like that I've done to the website. But the bulk of the work over the last 10 years was 9 years ago. So that's why I'm a big fan of SEO. By the way, not many people do SEO because it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of work. So that's also why I like it so much, because not many detailers or business owners for that have the patience to wait it out for the results to actually kick in. And then it's a big learning curve as well. So, you know, that's why I like SEO. But, we also do run Google ads as well. So there's two main forms that we use for marketing. I started back in 2011. Where did you learn to install Tint and PPF? Was it self-taught? So detailing for the most part was self-taught. I did go to get trained by Jeremy Stevens in Ventura, California, for advanced paint correction or wet sanding and paint correction. That was back in 2014, but before I went there, 2014, but even before then, like, I was already confident and comfortable with my detailing skills. Now, as you progress and you grow and you have more funds and customers and money, right? You want to cut down, just how I said earlier, like, you want to condense the learning curve. So could we have learned on our own tint? Absolutely. Could we have learned on our own PPF? Yes. But since we have a team, we have a customer base, you want to condense that learning curve as much as you can. So like with vinyl wrapping, Angel and myself and Lex, like, we got him to a point where, like, did we wrap a full car before? I don't remember if we wrapped a full car before or after training. My point being is that we, like, heavily got into practicing by ourselves the first, like, 6 months. Like, we were, like, every day just learning, doing something of vinyl wrapping to get better. Like, something vinyl wrapping was happening every day for, like, maybe, like, 4 months or so, or 5 months. And then we sent Angel to J the Wrap Specialist for a two-day training, which really helped them. Now, that training, although it was great, it wasn't the end-all be-all. Like, we still had to learn a lot afterwards. Angel still had to figure things out on his own. But the training did help. So, in that one, we learned a lot. And then we sent Angel to training, and then we kept on learning and improving. With PPF, he went to Chicago Auto Pros because we signed up with Optical, so the training was free. And he got trained over there with E-Man. And again, we came back, just started getting more practice, right? So it's a combination of both self-taught, not like just getting your own reps and own experience in, and then going to get trained. And then with window tints, we sent him here locally to High Tech to get trained. And then we just started, we came back and started practicing every single day. So it's a combination of both learning on your own and then going out to get trained. Now, you know, I just dropped my phone. Now, the way I would put it is it depends what you're doing, right? Like, if you're adding a new service, like window tint to your services, I could see you learning that on your own and then at some point getting trained, right? But it's like, the longer you take to learn the service, the longer it takes for you to offer that service, which means you're not making money on it. So that's why we, as soon as we wanted to do vinyl wrapping, like, we did not stop doing vinyl wrapping. Like, we just continually, consistently did vinyl wrapping. Then we sent them to get trained, and then we consistently did vinyl wrap. Same thing with PPF, sending window tint. So with your first, like, if you're trying to do window tint, whether it's a self-taught or you go get trained, you need to condense the learning curve so you can sooner offer those services and start making money from it, right? So is that over 12 months or 6 months, right? Do you do that all self-taught or do you go get trained, right? I don't know how that looks like for you. I don't know how you learn or how fast you're able to learn. But my goal is to, and basically just follow this gist of, like, my goal is to condense the learning curve so we can offer the services sooner. However you get to that point is up to you, right? But we do both self-taught, just everyday practice. I don't care what it is, how it comes out, what we're working on. Let's just get some practice reps in. And we also go out to get training because that's just, you know, it condenses the learning curve. It's hard. There's no right or wrong answer. Just how do you cut the learning curve shorter so you can offer the services sooner is a good way to look at it. What tint and PPF film do you use and where do you get it? So this is something that I struggled with myself when I was learning about my shorts. This is something I was struggling with as well because the PPF that I knew first was Expel. That's does 3M have one? I don't know. But I know Expel is like a super big player. Expel, S-Tech, and what was the other one? I forgot. But I contacted Expel, and I did not like their vibes at all. The guy that I was talking to was like kind of offensive in terms of like I was being offended, but like dude was coming with a bit of aggression over the phone. I was like, yo, chill, dog. And then when they told me about like everything that they require for you to be a dealer, I was like, bro, absolutely not. Like I'm not doing all that to become a dealer for Expel. So that's why I don't recommend Expel. I don't support Expel. I don't care about Expel. Nor would I recommend anyone to go with Expel just because I do not agree with anything that they do as a company or what they require from dealers and like require you to use their ceramic coating. And like, bro, get out of here, dog. And the reasons why they tell you like, oh, this is why the reason why they require to be a dealer and the criteria is like, bro, it's all made up. Like it's all fake. Like none of that matters, you know, which I can go into a completely different topic when it comes to like right to repair and how that aligns. And like you can look at the like cell phone and laptop repair business and you can see how they're getting absolutely shammed by Apple and these big tech companies and why it's all a sham and why it doesn't matter. Then you can go talk about dealerships like Ford and Tesla and how they're trying to do the same thing. So we can go into a completely different conversation about why some companies, why customers don't own what they do, right? And I can go into a very in-depth conversation about that and why it's not good for business and not good for consumers and not good for businesses. But we're not here in this episode. So anyways, I talked to Expo, one of the first companies that I talked to. And when I heard all of that, I was like, bruh, like, what the hell is that? I don't want to do any of that. So then I talked to, and just from talking to other people, like, that was like the gist of like, yeah, Expo does this. And then the other one was Lumar, which was a lot better. Like Lumar, like the rep that I was talking to was great. They don't have any crazy, like, nothing crazy like Expel does. But even then still, I was like, it's a lot better. Don't get me wrong. But I don't like this, like, this minimum requirement or not that it's a while now. So I forget the exact details. But I was just like, I don't really like this. So for Tint, we're going with Hi-Tech as of now. And I say as of now, not that like I'm actively looking for another brand, but just things change. Like the same way how we use, you know, a Grietz polisher, tomorrow we might use a Rupes polisher. Like that's how I say it. For now we're using Hi-Tech. And then for film, we're using Optical, which is from Chicago Auto Pros, Car Supply Warehouse. That's what they offer. For now, again, like, not that I'm saying like they're the best or it's just for now, you know, like anything, things change, you know? So for now we're using Optical for PPF and then Hi-Tech for window tint. And then for vinyl film, well, the thing with that is there are no, you can just buy them anywhere, right? KPMF, Cheetah Wrap, TinyBot, 3M, Avery Dennison, whatever, like, you just buy those. So there are some that do require you to be more like a dealer because, like, the chrome film, they're, like, super difficult to install. But aside from that, I mean, most brands, most films, you can just purchase, which is what I like. Like, so that's why I went with Hi-Tech. Not that I'm saying Hi-Tech was the best or Hi-Tech is superior quality, but I was tired of like, oh, hey, here's the minimum requirements. And you need to do that. I was like, oh, bro, like, I'm not running my business to please your business to be able to buy your products. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing that. Again, I can go into an entire different conversation about how this is affecting so many different industries and how eventually you don't want it to come into detailing. Which is why I don't want to sign up with a brand like that. But again, I'm not saying Hi-Tech is the best or like, it just, you know, that's the one we chose. So hopefully that answered your question there. Here's another question. Where do we get trained on wraps? Again, self-taught or, you know, there's plenty of people that like, if you just follow people on Instagram, the ones that I follow, like Samsung Wraps on Instagram or who else? There's a lot more, but a lot of those people offer training as well. So, you know, it's not hard to find a trainer. Like, you don't have to find a training facility that like offer wraps and they do wrap training. Like, there's plenty of wrappers just as there are detailers, just as there are PPF installers that they offer training as well. So that'll also be a good choice. As long as you obviously do your due diligence and like that person does quality work and they have good reviews for their business and, you know, they have a good reputation, then obviously like, you still got to put the effort to make sure you're going with the right person. Let's see here. So this one, I've answered this quite a bit. What's the link for the wash mat that you use when you're washing cars? So that is I forget the name of it. I got it on Amazon. And I'm surprised how many questions I get from it because, like, when we got the unit in 104, I needed a wash mat. I needed something to hold the water and I was tired of the water. Like, it was just annoying, right? So I was like, man, I wish there was a mat. And I just went to Amazon and I put wash mat. And then there was an option there and I ordered the largest size and that was, I think it was like $18 or something. And I ordered it and, you know, I've been getting a lot of questions about people about what mat that was. And I'm like, man, like, it's on Amazon. Like, there was no thought process behind it. So it's on Amazon. If you just go to wash mat, you should be able to find it. We beat ours up, like run cars over, we park cars on it, we fold it, we, you know, water stays on it, like we drag it around, move it around, and it's held up very, very well. It's a good option. And I think the first one that I ever saw was on Chemical Guys when I was like many years ago, like before we got the shop, I was thinking about getting one. And then once I actually got the shop and I was like, oh, I need a wash mat. Let me go on Amazon, see if they have one. It was on wash mat. Next question here is, what's the hard part about pricing PPF? Material, labor, or both? We're not the most well-versed in, like, we're not the most well-versed in PPF, just as we're not in vinyl wrap, just as we're not in window tint, just because, like, I'm well-versed in detailing because I've been doing that for now, like, 10-plus years, you know? So even though we have done full wraps and front end, whatever, like, in the PPF job and window tints, like, comparing that to my detailing experience, it's not like it's uncomparable. Like, I have so much more experience in detailing. But when it comes to PPF, yeah, it's a lot different because, one, the material alone, right? You have to make sure you have enough material on hand. Typically, you know, you have rolls of film because there's a lot more. Yeah, because it, like with PPF, you, like, if you don't have a plotter, you need to find someone, or maybe wherever you're ordering the film from needs to be able to send you film that's already pre-cut if you want to use the kits, right? If not, you're going to bulk everything. And if you're going to bulk everything, you're going to waste a lot of material and you're going to need a lot more material and you're going to have to pass that price on to the customer, because with PPF, there's a lot of kits. Like, for instance, the hood, that could be bulked. Bulked meaning there's no kit, there's no pattern. You just cut out a material and lay it on the hood and install it like that. But then if you're looking at like headlights, front bumper, fenders, and you want to bulk those, you can, but one, you have to be very good with your cutting skills. You have to be comfortable cutting on the paint, not on the actual paint itself, but with the film on the paint and cut properly. So yeah, and then you have to figure out, like, well, you know, you have to correct it and polish it and then install the PPF. So it, I would say, like, it's definitely both on the skill and the material. It's totally different from detailing, right? Same thing when we started booking in vinyl wraps. It's like, it's totally different in terms of how you quote it and how you price it than detailing. Because detailing, like, yeah, it'll be, you know, $300 for the interior. Drop off your interior, right? Drop off the vehicle. But with PPF, there's a lot more education going on. There's a lot more communication. There's a lot more back and forth because you want to make sure, like, it's very clear about what they're getting, what they want, what they're paying for, how much to order, how long we need the vehicle. You know, so there's a lot more factors involved with PPF. And the most basic, like, it's a completely different service as well. Like, it's a completely different set of skills that you need to install PPF. Than detailing, than correction and coatings. Obviously, that's still a part of the process, but it's like, it's a much different learning curve than anything detailing related. So, especially in the beginning phase, like, yeah, they're both going to be equally difficult because, one, learning a new skill, duh. And then two, it's like, go get customers now that are willing to spend $2,500, $4,500, $7,000 on paint protection film. And book those in, you know. Another question here is, how are you liking PPF? Could be your most profitable offer, but yet your biggest loss. As far as biggest, I don't know what he means by that, but with PPF, it's also the biggest barrier to entry because the GravTech 7000, I believe, I could be wrong, the GravTech 7000 costs $7,000, and that's the only one you really want, because if you buy a smaller plotter, or if you have a plotter for window tint that's made for windows, the problem that's going to happen is that you won't be able to cut out large panels for your PPF, right? So let's say it's a large SUV, the front bumper, the, you know, maybe the roof or something, or just the door panels. Maybe the window tint plotter isn't big enough. So then, like, what? Like, what do you do? So do you buy a new plotter, or do you, you know, just hand cut it? So the plotter itself, that's a big investment. Plus the software, I think the software is like maybe like $200 a month or something. I haven't checked. I think someone told me that. I don't know if that's true or not. But then the software to run on the plotter, that costs as well. And then the material alone, again, not that, you know, the customer basically pays for the film, but you have to buy the film in the first place, right? So the film alone, like, if you're getting a, you know, 5x50, you know, I think that's like, depending what brand or what finish, it could be like $1,200, $1,400, $1,600. So it's a lot more expensive. It's a lot more cost involved with getting PPF up. And again, like, you really got to find the right customers that, like, need and want that kind of service. Because again, like, window tint, everyone knows what window tint is. Like, everyone likes and wants window tint, right? Whether it's just for privacy, whether it's heat rejection, like, people know and like, and are familiar with window tint. Less people are familiar with vinyl wrap, right? That you can change the color of your vehicle. But it's cool. You know, there's a niche that people want it. PPF, it's even a smaller niche, right? Because, yes, it does increase the gloss on your vehicle. But, like, you don't really see it. It protects your car, right? But, like, people don't really see it. And you know, it's just a very small niche of people want that kind of service. So not that, you know, it's bad or it's not, you know, it's bad that it's not popular, but like it's a different kind of service. And, you know, people aren't just going to walk in every day and be like, hey, so can I purchase that $7,000 full PPF job that you offer? Like, that's just not happening, you know? So you got to find the correct customers for that kind of service. So hopefully that makes sense. This one asks, what's the best detailing tip? Work faster. Pete Details, when... Oh, that's the person that asked this. Pete Details, when can I be on the podcast? I get asked that a lot, if about getting more people on, like, detailers and such on podcasts. I always prefer to do in-person stuff. That's why I don't, like in California, I don't know if he's in California or not, but in California, Los Angeles, Orange County, San Francisco, there's so many detailers around there. Like, so many people that I see on, like, YouTube and Instagram, I'm like, dang, how many of y'all are out there? I would love to do podcast like here at the shop with in person. It just virtually, like over Zoom or whatever software, it just, you lose that connection. And for me personally, just I prefer in person stuff. And then because I can control the quality of the audio as well, because then the problem is like, you know, I'm using, you know, they're using like some just the regular headphones, and there's like a static noise in the background. It just, you know, so I prefer to do the in person podcast. So anyways, okay, so does door-to-door work to get customers? It's like, yes, it does, but like, why would you do that in 2024 when there's social media or in so many other avenues that you can do to get customers that doesn't require you to go walk door-to-door in neighborhood, you know? So does it work? Sure, yes, but like, if you also spend that same amount of time that you would walking door-to-door and you use that time and energy to figure out a strategy on social media, that can also work, you know? So yes, but like at a minimum, I would recommend you become a master of Instagram and TikTok and not just go door to door. Because with TikTok, Instagram, like it has a compounding effect to where it keeps on building. With door to door, like first of all, you need volume. Like you need to hit up doors every single day for that to work. And then two, like at the end of the day, like what do you have? Like nothing. But if you become a master of social media and you know how to create content, well, your content keeps on building and building and building and building. So I would not recommend it in 2024 and focus on, you know, at a minimum, Instagram and TikTok, because it's free and everyone has a phone and you're able to create content. But from there, I mean, you can still do Google ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, SEO. So yeah, not really. I don't really recommend you do that as like a viable option for marketing. What happened to you guys getting a new building? This may, I believe. Yeah. So I did say a few times that we might get a new shop, but we didn't. I actually renewed this shop for 3 years. The reason being is because like this is a good location. We have a lot of stuff here, like a lot of stuff, and it just made sense to like hunker down and just stay here. Like we all like this area. We all like this shop. We all like it. It's a good shop. And then, you know, when we were talking about moving, nothing would really change. I mean, the location would change, and that'd probably change the customers, but it wasn't gonna have a big enough impact for us to change. And I'm only like 15 minutes away from my parents here, and we have the like a lot of things that we need around here. So we were, but I renewed it for 3 years, so we're gonna stay here for another 3 years. Next question here, Alexis47 says, Aqua Provac, or should I save for a Mighty? Running a Bizzle Little Green at the moment. Thanks. So the Little Bizzle is that little green machine that you can buy like at Target for like $110 or something. So he's asking, do I get an Aqua Provac or should I save for a Mighty? So there's multiple Mighty ones. The Mighty 1040, I think, is like $1,400. And the Mighty HP60 is like $1,600. So one, if you're mobile, like, do you have enough space to hold and carry the HP, whatever Mighty you want? That's a thing. So, I mean, for me, I had the Aqua Provac for, I think like 3-4 years. And I did a ton of interiors. I did multiple interiors in one day. Although it's not the greatest, not the biggest, not the strongest, not the hottest, I was still able to do multiple vehicles a day. And I was able to have a helper, and we were able to run through interiors with the Aqua Provac. So I was able to get the job done, right? But, it, you know, how long do you want? Like, how long is it going to take you to save up for either, right? Like, if you're making, I mean, I don't know, but like if it's going to take you 6 months to get the Mighty, or you can get the Aqua Pro Vac now, get the Aqua Pro Vac now, and then in 6 months, just upgrade to the HP, whatever, the Mighty, and then just sell the Aqua Pro and get like half your money back, you know? Like you can sell your items, you know that, right? So like if you get an Aqua Pro Vac, just sell it to another detailer for half the price and you get half your money back, but you made all your money from, like, you know, so it's not a big deal. And if it's like, if you're doing enough, like if you've increased your business to where you need to go through more interiors and you're thinking about the Aqua Pro Vac or the Mighty, it's like, well, you're wasting time and money now by not getting either. Because if you could go through more jobs, if you could go through more work now, if you upgrade to either of those machines, well, then upgrade now so you can go through those, so you can go through more cars and make more money. And if you need to, well, just save up for the Mighty and then purchase that when you can, and then sell the Aqua Pro Vac, right? So, whatever you do, I don't. If you're at the volume where like you're doing more cars and you need to increase your efficiency, I wouldn't wait on either. Just buy one, go make more money, and then, you know, save up and upgrade when you can. But yeah, that, like if you're making money and you have customers, like, why are you slowing down? Like, go get that machine so you can go through more cars, make more money, and keep on growing. Let me try to see here. I had some saved, but then I went through them, so now I just have to see. How do you deal with water spots and no shade on a hot day? Yeah, as a mobile detailer, this is going to be a big problem that you face. Like, how do you wash or how do you detail a vehicle in the heat when you don't have shade? You kind of have to figure it out, right? Can you move the vehicle to a spot that has shade? Can you work on one side of the vehicle that's shaded? Meaning if the sun is, you know, coming this side and the vehicle is on its side, well, one side is going to be shaded. Can you work on that side? Get that done, flip the vehicle, and then let the other side stay shaded and cool down, and you start working on that one. Do you put a large towel over a panel before you work on it to cool it down, and then you work on it? Should you wash clay and polish per panel? Does that make sense? Like, there's so many things you have to, like, there's so many ways you can work to get the job done, but it's not going to be the ideal situation when you're out in the sun working and it's really hot. Like, there's plenty of times where we worked panel by panel because it was just so hot. There's times where we couldn't do an iron remover out in the field mobile because it was so hot it would instantly dry up. So again, like, you can only work as best as the environment that you're in. So if it's really hot, things are drying really fast, yeah, you can't probably foam the vehicle down. Maybe you work panel by panel. Maybe you do a rinseless and did it instead of a foam wash. Like, you have to adapt your services and your process based on the weather outside. And sometimes that means, yeah, like, you're going to work panel by panel. You're going to work one side of the vehicle first, turn the car around and then work on the other side. Maybe you have to move the vehicle multiple times throughout the details so it stays in the shade. Like, that is the struggle of being a mobile detailer. You have to adapt to your environment. And if you're working in a really hot, really cold, really windy, really rainy areas, like, yeah, that's just a challenge you have to work through. So hopefully that helped. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and end the video right here. It's already like at 30 minutes. So I'll end the video right here. I'll probably do a part 2 because there's still a lot of questions I can get to. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you on the next one.